This week, a vicar spoke to me and said, how can I make this baptism I've got meaningful? How can I give it a Christian meaning? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, this family, they don't want to come to church. In fact, could they have their christening on a Saturday afternoon? And I suggested, perhaps we could have a Christian hymn. No, they didn't want anything Christian, they said. Just read the surface. Well, what does baptism mean? What did your baptism mean to you? I'm not going to get into discussion of whether it was an infant or an adult, whether it was by sprinkling water or immersion. I've done them all. What does it mean? And can we look at Jesus' baptism and get some vital meaning for it? What does baptism mean to you and me? I was christened in, for the Welsh speakers, St. Gwynfliw, which the English will know as St. Wullace Cathedral in Newport. Don't know where you were baptized. Doesn't really matter. What does it mean? Let's look at this story. It must have been important because every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, has this story of the baptism of Jesus. They're slightly different, but all of them have it. There's a real Old Testament feel about it. We're at that point where the Old Testament was working into the New, and John, who very much seemed an Old Testament prophet, didn't he? Thundering, coming from the desert with his preaching of fire and damnation to those who were sinners, but God's cleansing grace to those who repented. There was a voice from heaven. We've heard it from our Old Testament psalm. There was the appearance of a dove. There was God's Holy Spirit at work. What's the meaning of all this for Jesus and for us? And who was this man from Nazareth? You remember it, that when the disciples were called, it was put up that Nazareth was no place at all. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Says Nathaniel. What does this mean? God is often a God of surprises in the Bible. Who would have thought of Christmas? Really? Who would have planned the cross and resurrection? Our God is a God of surprises. Jesus, of all people, coming to be baptized. Did Jesus need forgiveness and cleansing? No wonder John the Baptist turned and said, no. You baptize me. But Jesus came to baptism. He came to be one with the needy people, the people who acknowledged their weakness and sin and knew that they needed God's cleansing. And he wanted to be one with them. St. Paul puts it, he made himself nothing. He became human and stayed human. It was incredibly humbling, as the Message puts it. John was shocked. He said so. But Jesus instead came to share the place of sinners, of people like you and me. He lived a selfless, obedient life without special privileges, and he died a selfless, obedient death. And horrible it was. We heard that Old Testament prophecy. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. God confirming and empowering Jesus' calling to be God's anointed Savior. Not so much for himself, but for others. That was his role, his calling, his ministry. And not as a soldier king, because as we learn in the Gospels, even his close friends were hoping that the Savior would be a soldier, a king, drive out the Romans and establish a new Jewish empire for God. But some only saw a dove, a symbol of gentleness. Many commentators don't want to make any comment about it, but John Calvin, a great commentator, says, "This surely reminds us of the gentleness of the Jesus of the gospel. We should have no fear in approaching Christ. Some Christians are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Be reminded, don't be so. This is the Jesus, gentle as a dove." Then there was this voice from heaven, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." Is this what baptism means to you? What it should mean to me? The message puts it this way: "You are my child, whom I love. You are the delight of my life." Can we put our name? Baptisms are often thought of as naming ceremonies into that. You, me, are my child, whom I love. You are the delight of my life. Is this the meaning of baptism? God's saying, "You are my child, whom I love. You are the delight of my life." Paul writes, "In love, he planned our adoption through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace. He has freely given us this in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his death, the forgiveness of our sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace," he writes to the Ephesians. But there's more. There's more even than this. Not in these texts. Now, people's last words are significant, aren't they? And in Jesus' last words to his disciples, he specifically mentions baptism. In Matthew 28, 18 and 19, the risen Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Not only in every gospel, but in the last words of the risen Christ. Baptism is given to authorize us to take the good news of the gospel to everyone and baptize them in God's name. No exceptions. God chose the baby of Bethlehem, the carpenter's son from Nazareth, to embody and share this message, the message of his grace and love, not only to us, but through us. We're constantly challenged by this authorizing and sending out. Remember the very next thing in the gospel story, it says, the Holy Spirit drove him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And going out, driven by the Holy Spirit into the world with this message, is no easy thing. Whoever we are, we're to share the good news with others, that you are my child, whom I love. You are the delight of my life. Jesus authorizes us to do this. We are to be driven out by the Holy Spirit. We have a gospel to proclaim. That's part of baptism's meaning. It's not just for us. It's to be taken and shared with the world for whom Christ died. We all think, I'm not very good at that. Our church doesn't seem to this, that, and the other. I'm reminded that revivals of religion, not least in Wales, have time and again taken part amongst ordinary people, not amongst bishops and clergy. Often revival has receded when the church has taken it over almost as a policy. This is not to mount an attack on those who are gifted or given to leadership, but it is to remind us of the calling that each of us who are baptized have. We have a gospel to proclaim. The gospel that says, "You are my child whom I love. You are my delight," and to take it to our world. Pray God may do that. Our world needs it so much. We look at our headlines this morning, and excuse the phrase, it's about Meghan and murder. Well, the Archbishop of Wales was also on and encouraging us that in this anniversary, the 100th anniversary, 2020, of the Church in Wales, we need to look to our core reason for being here, to take the gospel into our communities. And I have hesitated to saying the next bit, but Harry and Meghan, headlines in the press today. They make no claim to perfection. You will know what Harry has done in the Invictus Games and his work amongst so many who've been injured in war. Perhaps you don't know that Meghan used to work for the Christian charity World Vision. Perhaps you don't know that one of the leaders behind the work at Grenfell Towers have been Meghan and Harry. I'm pretty sure you won't know that a friend of mine in East London, how many of you are pastoral visitors? You may not know that Meghan Markle has asked to do the course. These good people are being berated and ridiculed and even said to be mentally unstable in the press you will read today. Let's thank God for them. Perhaps they bring to our royal family a touch of that earthy love and care that is at the heart of our gospel. What about us, our church, our community? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the grace and goodness you gave us in baptism. Please empower us by your Spirit to take that same grace and love to individuals, family, friends, and our community. We have a gospel to proclaim. Help us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.